Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is Dr. Eoin O'Neill from Discovery News' Seeker.com, which presents all the latest science news and videos for everyone to enjoy, anyone who enjoys science news, space news, Seeker.com, check it out. Welcome to the show, Dr. O'Neill.
Hi there, Summer. Thanks for having me on the show.
Now, tell us a little bit about Seeker, because this is a little new.
It is. So, yeah, now DNews is actually part of the Seeker network. And basically, Seeker is an adventure, exploration, science destination. And we've got some amazing video on there. So we've got many different shows that are now joining the brand, which is kind of exciting. And we cover everything from animals to history to of course, space, my favorite, technology, all the digital trends, and pretty much anything that gets you excited gets us excited. So if you have a look on the front page of Seeker.com, you'll see that it's just like a huge variety of stuff. I mean, you get lost on this website for hours.
Great. Another place I need to spend a whole lot of my time.
I know. You will waste a lot of time on there. But hey, it's not wasted time. You'll learn a lot, I think.
And that's good. That's good. Because today, this weekend, we are, I guess, stepping forward into the future and visiting the past with the release of Independence Day Resurgence. And that has people asking questions. Where did this movie come from, and can aliens really invade us just like in the movies? So, I'm one of those people that says, yes, there is other life, intelligent life out there in the universe because, what was it they said in Contact? That's a whole lot of universe for nothing else to be out there but us.
Yeah.
But we are in such a backwater, why would anyone bother?
Well, this is really the thing. I mean, you have to ask, you know, what is the incentive for aliens to come here? And I would argue that, well, if we take a step back, if we think, okay, so if we're looking for alien worlds, we're looking for alien worlds that have similar traits as Earth. So we're looking for habitable worlds orbiting other stars. And of course, recently Kepler mission has discovered hundreds more exoplanets orbiting other stars, and few of them would be considered to be habitable. So a few of these planets orbit the star at where it's not too hot and not too cold for liquid water to exist on the surface. And of course, our lesson on Earth is that, you know, where there's water, there's life. So we're looking for an Earth analog elsewhere. Who's to say that if one of these worlds does have an advanced civilization, perhaps they are, you know, a water-loving kind of life form, why wouldn't they want to come to Earth? Because we are an oasis for them. And so that could be an incentive for a pretty cool sci-fi movie like Independence Day or something like that. But, of course, there's a lot of cultural bias. I mean, we always think, when we think aliens, we think invasion. And it's not necessarily that way. But then again, who's to say that it won't end up like that?
Well, what about the discovery of planets that might support life that don't have water? Because I know water is the concern for us, but if there's a life form that survives better on methane than on water, are we overlooking something or just putting those over off to the side who said, well, until we have a little bit better science, we aren't really going to take a deep look at that?
Yeah, I mean, scientists, especially astrobiologists, they're a very imaginative bunch. And they do try and think up other life forms. So I think recently there was a computer simulation of a life form which used, I think it was methane molecules to breathe. I forget what that was based on, but it's basically a potential life form on Titan, a life form that could live on Titan, but they created it. They just said, okay, we're going to have a life form that doesn't require water, doesn't require the things that we need, but what would a life form on Titan need to be alive? And so they created their own life form. But the thing is, that creates a whole new problem for astrobiologists, that suddenly you've got a universe of infinite possibilities. And how would you actually detect this life if we don't know what to look for in the first place. So we know what to look for when it comes to Earth-based life. So that's why we're looking for water. That's why we're looking for habitable worlds. And it's only habitable for us. We're being very narrow-minded in our view because we only know of one form of life, and that is Earth life. So we're looking for second Earths. I mean, is that the be-all and end-all? Well, possibly not, but there's no reason to think that there is other forms of life out there. In fact, we haven't actually found any aliens yet, so we don't actually know for certain if there's other life out there. I totally believe there's other life, alien life elsewhere in the galaxy. It's based on science, but also I just believe in my gut that we're not the only things out there. As for other life with different molecules using different, you know, different substances to survive, it's possible, but, you know, inconclusive.
So in the case of someone coming by for a visit, what sort of response or options do you think Earth as a whole might take? Because we've seen the whole thing, oh, they're invading, this is not going to be good for us. And it's always, you have the people in the camp, well, aliens will be peaceful because they're more advanced than us. And then you have others who are like, no, they're more advanced than us. That's why they're coming here to crush us. What do you think would be a reasonable response?
Well, that's the thing, because when we think of aliens, we think invasion. So we automatically assume that, you know, our cultural bias, because our evolution has taught us that if you move into a new part of the world, you're going to take over, take the resources, you'll kill the indigenous population, and it's just a bad time. So we always think, okay, aliens are going to come here, take our resources, they're going to crush us like ants. And also they're going to be technologically more advanced than us because they got here. They somehow mastered interstellar travel, which is something we can't even think about yet. So we already have that cultural bias. As for preparing for this kind of possible close encounter, I would say that we are woefully unprepared for any kind of visitation. And as for our response, it'll probably be a military response, because why wouldn't it be? I mean, that's our history. That's what we do. We respond to the unknowns with force. But it will probably be futile. So I would probably turn to the scientists. I turn to SETI, for one, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. They've thought about this a lot. They've thought about how to communicate with aliens. When and if we discover that first alien signal coming from another star, SETI will be the ones that decipher what it means. So I'd be turning to them saying, okay, what are your thoughts on this? And to be honest, I want you to be the greeting party rather than having a missile being sent to these aliens. Because to be honest, if we responded with a military action, we'd be crushed. I don't think it would even be a question of Independence Day. I think it would be done. Very
quickly. Yeah, I always wondered about that, because soldiers from whatever country, they're people too. And if something that disastrous begins to happen, they're going to want to be with their families too. And they're like, we are outnumbered. We are outgunned. I'm going to go home and hug my kids one last time. You know, literally, it's the Cartman response. Screw you guys, I'm going home. I honestly can't imagine mounting any counteroffensive, you know, toe-to-toe counteroffensive at all. If it's a takeover and occupation, maybe you do the underground resistance thing, last a couple of decades to gather some intel maybe, but a toe-to-toe fight, it wouldn't even be close to fair.
Yeah, and there's some ways of thinking about, you know, a possible conflict with aliens would be the ultimate uniting force behind Earth. I mean, suddenly, you know, borders and politics and everything like that wouldn't really matter if we had this invading force from another star system. Suddenly, we're all Earthlings. Suddenly, we're all together in this. So I think that would probably give us more incentive if there was any chance of responding. And I suppose that's what you see in Independence Day. You know, the whole world suddenly starts to collaborate with the U.S. at the forefront of discovering the weak points in the alien spaceships. I'm interested. I'm tentatively excited about watching the new Independence Day movie. I mean, it doesn't look spectacular, but it's going to have a lot of explosions and big aliens. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing just how they deal with aliens this time around. But I think my overwhelming feeling is it'll be a uniting force. And I would hope that if SETI discovered that signal coming from afar, and is undoubtedly artificial, and it's definitely an alien signal, that it will in some way unite Earth. I mean, there's a lot of religious questions. You know, how will that affect people individually? The fact that there's life beyond Earth. I think there's a lot of really cool discussions to be had around that, especially, you know, cultural impacts with discovering an alien species. But I think I would hope that that would be a uniting force. I would hope that if we found that there's aliens elsewhere in the universe, we would come together as one and perhaps, you know, fight less.
Well, I'm looking forward to the movie too, just because I had so much fun with the first one, even though, let's say, as someone with a computer background, Jeff Goldblum's character being able to interface with an alien mothership with an Apple laptop, I couldn't suspend my disbelief enough for that one, but I'm interested to see what tricks they have up their sleeve this time around.
Yeah, exactly, and it is about, you know, suspending your disbelief for a little time, because I have a big problem. I mean, I've sat through too many what would be considered good movies, but it's just been ruined by the science. I mean, one key one was Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey. I mean, it was a stellar movie in a lot of ways. I mean, I had some real problems with the storyline, but also the science, because it was billed as a, you know, scientifically accurate movie, but I was there pulling it apart in, you know, the first 20 minutes. I was like, Ian, just, you know, quit thinking about this, just suspend your disbelief. But then there'll be another huge problem, and it'll be like, oh no, it's like a kick to the head. Whereas, you know, like Star Wars and things like that, it's more fantasy, so we don't really tend to nitpick at the science, because they never try to be accurate. But when, you know, a movie is billed as being scientifically accurate and actually they just keep screwing it up, that's what annoys me.
Well, hopefully, yeah, Independence Day, it's a fantastical flight of adventure fantasy. We get to see a whole lot of things blowing up, a lot of spaceship battles, a lot of aliens manipulating things. Hopefully, we'll just be able to sit back and have a little bit of fun.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think Independence Day has ever been billed as being scientifically accurate, so I'm okay with that. I'm okay with giant aliens crushing tanks. That's fine.
Awesome. So, everyone, go see Independence Day Resurgence this weekend or next weekend for July 4th. Thank you, Dr. O'Neill, for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
And you can go find out more. Discovery News is seeker.com for your science news, your space news, everything about the world you live in, brought to you by Discovery, because that's what we like to do. We have to discover more about our world and ourselves before we discover anything substantive about alien life form coming to pay us a visit.
It could happen.
Thank you so much. And we will be right back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Hey, you. Stop hiding behind that sofa. Come out from back there. Your sofa wants to talk to you. Wants to play footsie with your mind. Listen to it. Relax. Let it in. Starship Sofa, the first podcast ever to win a Hugo Award, with weekly stories from the world's best authors, Michael Moorcock, Peter Watts, Joe Haldeman, Peter F. Hamilton, and many, many, many more, with news and reviews and interviews. Bradbury, Pole, Wolfe, and Mieville, the sofas chewed the fat with them all. Facts and fictions, articles and particles. Oh, why aren't you listening? StarshipSofa.com, your best science fictional fix this side of the coffee table.
ever really supposed to take movies like Independence Day or Independence Day Resurgence seriously, because they are popcorn fun movies, right? And that's what they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be escapists. We get to see a fanciful flight of technology and actually pretty good CGI. And 2 hours later, or 2.5, we leave the theater and we go, that was fun. There were some really stupid parts in there, but still, I enjoyed the fun. And that's what counts, right? So if anybody's going to see Independence Day Resurgence this weekend or next weekend, give us a call. Let us know how you felt about it, what impressions it left you with, if it was a serviceable sequel, or if maybe they should have just let this one slide and be a Netflix miniseries. What do you think? Call us. The number is 602-635-6976. Or you can send an email to summer@sliceofscifi.com. I'm actually curious to see what non-critics think about this movie, because they actually did not hold screeners for the press for this anywhere in the country. So that's usually a bad sign. And for a movie with that kind of budget and that kind of media visibility profile, that's disturbing that they would make a movie that has almost no marketing and definitely no press screeners. Are they hoping to capture the old fart audience, people who remember the original very well? Because the original is not on streaming anywhere that I've been able to see. So the younger moviegoers probably haven't seen it if their parents didn't have it on DVD. So I'm kind of curious who the audience was for this. Nostalgic old sci-fi fans like me and you, or just hoping to cash in on the brand name Independence Day? Given how gun-shy Hollywood has gotten about making properties that don't already have a franchise behind them, or, you know, a book, a comic book series, something that's already established its name in the, shall we say, the mind space of society, original stories are few and far between these days. Kind of depressing, but that's the bottom line first, story last entertainment world we live in. You want to have some real fun? Watch Running Man. The levels of absurdity that we made fun of in that movie in the 80s, you look at it now and you go, whoa, dude. And not just because of the big shoulder pads and the big hair. So until science and astronomers tell us different, we're still going to get alien invasion movies based on flights of fancy, not truly based in any science we're currently working off of. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It depends on the story. It really does. But that'll do it for this episode. As I said, if you want to comment, call 602-635-6976 or shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. Go check us out on iTunes. Leave us a review over there. You can also subscribe via Stitcher and via TuneIn. Check us out on Twitter. That's @SliceOfSciFi or @SliceOfSciFiTV. You can check us out on Google Plus, Slice of Sci-Fi, and on YouTube, Slice of Sci-Fi over there as well. And of course, the websites for your entertainment pleasure are SliceOfSciFi.com, SliceOfSciFi.tv, and we also have KickAssMysticNinjas.com and WritersAfterDark.com. I want to thank everybody for your continued pledges of support through Patreon and your donations through PayPal. Those of you who are still going the old school way, thank you very much. All of your donations and pledges do support the hosting of the websites and the media, allowing me a little bit of breathing room to keep this project, this enterprise going. So thank you. Thank you all very much. Also, many thanks to the geek rock band Psy-Fried for the awesome theme music that graces this show these days. If you want to check out more of what they're producing, go on over to psy-friedband.com and tell them Summer sent you. But that'll do it. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi, not next week, but after the 4th of July weekend. Take care.